Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Revisiting Luke's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Luke's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Luke, even though I read through Luke in 2021. But the thing is, the world's changed. I've changed, and so I expect that my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am kind of looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying to me now. I do want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me. I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple minutes long. You should also know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I will have recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wandering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley. That's Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church, the one in Ontario. So now, let's see what Luke has to say this time around. Today it's Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26, and I know if you're a faithful follower of this, you know that that's what I read yesterday. In fact, not only did I read it yesterday, but as I wondered about things and said, man, there's a lot of stuff to wonder about here, so much so I could do another day, but I won't. Well, I was wrong. I am doing another day on it. Doing another day on it, not for all those things I was wondering about yesterday, because they're all such a neat little things to go on, but I actually woke up this morning bothered by something that I seem to have just sort of taken for granted. It's as if I didn't really pay attention to the words. So yesterday, so you know, I read the story of a paralyzed man and his friends. Actually, why am I reading? Why am I telling you? Let me read it to you, and I'll tell you what's still digging away at me. So here it is. It's Luke 5, 17 to 26. One day while he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting nearby, and they'd come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Just then some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. They were trying to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, well, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." And then the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, "Who is this who's speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered them, "Why do you raise such questions in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, stand up and walk? And so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the one who was paralyzed, "I say to you, stand up, take your bed, and go to your home." Immediately he stood up before them, took what he had been lying on, and went to his home glorifying God. Amazement seized all of them, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Read that yesterday. The last line resonates. "We have seen strange things today." It is a peculiar story. Lots of neat little things happening in it. I note that that last line actually says, amazement seized all of them, and they glorified God and were filled with awe. So all of them felt this. All of them are basically saying, we've seen strange things today. All of them are glorifying God, which to me means also the Pharisees and scribes, the ones who have accused Jesus, right? The ones who have accused him of blasphemy, the ones to whom he speaks. he speaks to the questions that they have in their hearts or that they're gossiping about, but they're not, they haven't asked him directly, but Jesus has confronted those questions and answered them in such a way that they glorify God and are filled with awe and say, we've seen strange things today. Strange being new to us. As if to say, you know, we've never thought of it that way before. What's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven or pick up? I can't talk about my faith, but I can do a magic trick? And magic is okay, but my faith isn't? Seriously, I thought you were scribes and Pharisees. And they go, you know, wow, we've never thought of it that way before. So I can see that kind of happening at the end of this little story. We have seen strange things today. Yeah, we've never thought of that before. And that's great. And I did. Yesterday I wondered all about, you know, the faith of friends. I wondered about the agency of this man. Did he want to be healed? Yes, at the end of the story, he goes to his home glorifying God, so we assume that he's happy to be healed. But did he want to be? And so there was a lot to wonder about yesterday. And as I say, I miss, there are lots of other things that I could be wondering about, but I didn't. But the thing that I woke up about this morning, I was like, wait a minute. Wow, it's so obvious, and yet I didn't wonder about it. Maybe you picked up on it, but the thing that I didn't wonder about yesterday that I just can't walk away from, friend, your sins are forgiven you. Jesus forgives this person's, this man's sins, and as a result of the forgiveness, he's no longer paralyzed. So the implication, of course, is that his paralysis comes from his sin. Now, there are two ways to look at his paralysis. His paralysis, and I wondered about it yesterday, but we don't know, text us and tell us. His paralysis could be the result of an accident, right? he might have fallen from a roof. He might have been kicked by a cow. I don't know. He might have had a stroke, right? So he is suffering. So that's one thing that could be his paralysis. He's suffering. The other possibility, of course, is that he was born this way. He was born paraplegic, perhaps, or quadriplegic, or I don't know what his situation, but we're just referring to him as being paralyzed. So it's possible that he was born this way. So this is a question of ability, disability, or a question of suffering. Don't want to mix those two up, which is to say, disabled people can suffer, but their disability is not a suffering necessarily, right? I wondered about that yesterday. This is a whole thing where we just sort of, where I anyway, maybe you don't, where I put myself inside their bodies, inside their heads, and I go, I wouldn't be happy like this. So therefore, I assume they're unhappy, without asking. Right? I mean, I don't ask them. I just go, well, everybody thinks like I do. So boy, oh boy, if that was a characteristic of my physical being, I wouldn't be happy with it. I have no idea how they themselves feel. I need to ask. So anyway, I'm wandering off the point. Disability and suffering are separate things. And I don't know what this is. But apparently, being cured, but being forgiven your sins, removes it. Removes the disability, takes away the suffering, whatever it may be. Disability, suffering, are punishments by God. They come as a result of being judged by God and found, well, I guess, wanting. I mean, and if you're suffering and I'm not suffering, and suffering is based on God's judgment, well, then God has judged you as not being as good as me, right? Or deserving of some kind of punishment. So I'm assuming then you're some kind of transgressor. And we say, well, we don't really think that way, but I think we do, actually, deep down inside. I think we often do. We see somebody who is suffering, we want, thank God that wasn't me. And then we think of all the reasons that it won't be us. You know, somebody my age has a heart attack and I look at the way they eat. I look at their exercise, the lack of exercise. I look at their family history. I think, okay, so as long as I don't eat like that, as long as I get better, more exercise, as long as I don't come from a long line of people who've had heart attacks, that's probably not going to be going to happen to me. But along the way, I also then pray and ask God that it not happen. Part of that is because I'm just asking God to help me, and that's part of the conversation I have with God all the time. I share with God who I am, but there's a little part of me, too, that also thinks the more I pray, the less likely I am to suffer. Because God isn't going to want to hurt me if God knows me. I wouldn't preach that. I'm a little reluctant even to admit that, but there is a tiny part of me that does exactly that. Something goes wrong. Why is this happening to me? I'm a good guy. You know? Because these things happen. But this story suggests that there is something causal in this. And that is a problem for me. I'm left to wonder, so is Luke got this wrong? Well, if Luke's got it wrong, then Matthew's got it wrong and Mark's got it wrong because they all tell the same story. A couple details shift here and there, but the essence of it is the same. And the friend, your sins are forgiven you. In his forgiveness, he gets up and he walks. They all agree on that. What am I supposed to do with that? I mean, I wanted to just say, well, no, sin has nothing to do. Sins do not lead to your suffering. And yet people say, well, Norm, they kind of do, don't they? I guess what we need to just talk about what sin is. And those of you who know me, you've heard me, you know how I feel about sin. My working definition of sin is sin is the distance between me and God, between us and God. That is sin. When we hear a child is born in sin, I don't think that means a child is born evil, bad, deserving of suffering, any of those things. I think that just means the child is born distant from God. And then through our lives, we try to get closer to God. The great gospel that I discover in Jesus, because of Jesus, is that God is also coming to me. So it's not just me getting to God, but God is also coming to me, coming to humanity, because there we meet in Jesus, fully human, fully divine. So in that moment, there is no sin. There's no distance, no separation between the human and the divine. We're in this together. That is sin for me. So I can look at this and say, your sins are forgiven you because you are with the one in whom humanity and divinity are both complete and intermeshed. You're holding my hand, there is no sin because you're touching God. Right? You're lying here in my presence. You are in the presence of God. I know I'm a human being, Jesus says, but I am God. I am both those things. I am in me. There is all that is human and all that is divine. God and I are one. It's so hard to find the language to describe a thing that goes beyond mystery. It's very difficult. But in that, this man's sins are forgiven. So then is the implication that the further away you go from Jesus, the more disabled you become, or the more suffering happens. And no, I can't buy that. However, perhaps I can hear this as, in the presence of God, we can be fully ourselves, whatever fully ourselves means. I mean, I would have loved this story, you know, if the man hadn't gotten up and walked, but simply said, thank you, that's wonderful. And then his friends picked him up and carried him out. That his sins were forgiven, then he felt whole and complete. But not in my eyes, in his own experience, he feels whole. That would have been great. It would have been very confusing for us as kids hearing that story, but it would have helped me now. But I can see that potential in this. The thing is, he does go home glorifying God. So, however he has come to be paralyzed, he would rather not be, and he believes his truer self is not paralyzed. So, maybe a traumatic accident that did this. It might be psychological. I don't know. Whatever it is, that's let go now. So, in God's presence, we are our true selves. In God's presence, we let go of the past. So we let go of the accident that causes paralysis. We let go of that moment, perhaps. We're not bound by anything when we are with God, because we are embraced by God. And the thing is that that experience continues with us even when we move a little further away from the presence. I mean, I know I'm reaching here, but I need to make sense of this in a way that it helps me and informs my life. I'm not trying to twist the gospel into meeting my agenda. It's just that I am, in my experience of Jesus and in parables and in teachings and all through scripture, I find challenges to the idea that suffering or differing abilities are somehow signs of God's judgment. I don't see it that way. And I don't find that in Scripture generally. So here comes a piece of Scripture where it sort of says that. Right. Well, so, for example, there was the time Jesus and his disciples were walking, and there was a blind man, and the disciples said, "So, that man who was born blind, was that his sin or his parents' sin that made him blind?" And Jesus challenges that, refutes that entirely. That's not why he was born blind. In fact, he was born blind to reveal the kingdom of God, meaning that's who he is in God's world. That is not a judgment, not a punishment. It is not a sign of sin. So Jesus says that in that story. And now I need to reconcile this. So he goes home glorifying God because this has been an accident. His truer self, his full self, his whole self can walk home. That's who he wants to be. And in God's presence, that's what happens. But as he walks home, he's no longer with God, but that lasts. That experience lasts. That miracle is maintained. It's not just being... you don't have to stay holding Jesus' hand all the time. You don't always have to hold the hem of his garment. You just need to touch. You don't need to live in church. I'm a church guy. You're allowed to come from time to time and walk away and carry the benefit of that experience and know that your faith is not contingent on the building, the hymn you might have been listening to, the sermon you heard preached, the moment that you sat in the sanctuary and just felt that connection. That is something you are allowed to pick up and take with you. And yes, in your experience, you may find that it fades, and so you have to come back. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you sat there in the church, it would have faded too. So in God's presence, I am myself, and I can carry that with me. That makes a little more sense to me. That will make that work for me. And to see that is indeed a strange thing. To realize that is a strange thing. My argument may not hold for you. You might go, "That's still not working," or, and I appreciate that. But I think that this is an invitation for us, for me anyway, to wonder about sin, to wonder about suffering, ability, disability, our lot in life. I mean, are those who are born into poverty, are they being punished by God for something they did in what, a past life? Are those who are born in luxury being rewarded because God knows in advance that they're going to be good people? Or are they being rewarded for something that happened in a past life? You know, it seems to me that privilege, power, wealth, all of these things are almost arbitrary. They're not assigned to us by God. They are random. And in fact, as we are open to God, we discover that rich or poor, able or disabled, at peace or struggling, God is with us. And the more we recognize that, the more we open ourselves to God, the more we are our true selves, the more we are healed, whether that healing is something that the world can see or it's just something that we experience. But it is in the presence of God where our sins are forgiven. Right? That distance is gone. And in that, we are free. And free looks like different things to different people. In that presence, we are whole. And that wholeness looks different to different people. But the thing is, even as we go away glorifying God, we remain whole. Yeah, I could maybe go with that. You know what? I'm going to let it go right there. I know this was just me needing to scratch an itch. And I thank you for your patience. I'm still going to think about it, but I think I've run out of useful wondering. But God and I are going to keep talking today as I try to make sense of it. But tomorrow, I promise, we'll move on. Anyway, until I get to see you, let me offer a prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your invitation to wonder, to invite us to wonder free of judgment, not afraid that if we get it wrong, we'll be punished, but confident that as we figure it out, we will see you more clearly, hear your voice, and find the strength, the imagination to follow you. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, you go. That's enough of me today. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Until I get to see you, God bless you. Please know that God sees you and loves you, doesn't judge you, loves you where you are as you are. And God's love moves through you out into the world. In that, sins are forgiven, right? You and God are one as God's love moves through you. And in that, there is freedom. Freedom to be you. Freedom to be whole. So God bless you. And we'll see you tomorrow.